Are you walking with God? I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy sacred anointing on the sharing of these experiences, on the sharing of thy precious word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last several weeks, I have been sharing with you my life story, which began in Nazi Germany in 1936. I've taken you to East Germany. I've taken you with me to Denmark, where I spent 2 years in a refugee prison camp. I've taken you with me to England, where I found Jesus at 16 years of age. And I brought you with me to the shores of this great nation, the United States of America. I took you with me on my first experience as a young Christian, on my first jobs in this country, and I took you with me on my first experiences with the churches of this nation. I took you with me in my search after a deeper experience with God. You have listened to me these last few weeks, and you've traveled with me from the state of Alaska all the way down to seminary in the state of Kentucky. And then you have been with me in 3 churches I pastored prior to the Lord leading me to this church here when he said, go thou to Kokomo, Indiana. And this is where our ministry is carried on at this very time, and it has been carried on here the past 24 years. This work here began very humbly with 2 men, 4 women, and 3 children. We came to this state, to this ministry, with only $15 in our pockets. But the Lord provided, and soon we had a lovely home, and we had a radio ministry, and we had a writing ministry, and this ministry now reaches into most of the corners of the world. Today, I'm in my last program of my life story. I want to end this story with a great find, really the thing that thrills my heart more than anything else, and that is my walk with God. There are many, many serious, dedicated Christians who read their Bibles faithfully, who pray faithfully, who serve the Lord wholeheartedly, but yet within their hearts there's a knowing that there's got to be more than what they experienced at their conversion. There's got to be more to this Christian life than just the basic principles. And of course, the Apostle Paul hints at that when he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. There's a need to a going on, but I have to confess that most Christians do not know what to go on to or how to go about it. And my wife and I were 2 of those many believers who knew that there had to be more than what we had experienced in our early Christian lives. And so we gave ourselves to a search, as many as you have done, and we've tried to find this more through reading wonderful books. We tried to find this more through reading autobiographies of the super saints of this and previous ages. We tried to find it by going to meetings. We were encouraged to attend, and people would say, it's over here or it's over there. We went over here. We went over there many times, but each time my wife and I came back disappointed, and we said to each other, we haven't found it yet. This search for a deeper experience, or for a satisfying experience, or for a deeper walk with God, or for what we were born again for, went on for 24 years. But after 24 years, in the year 1974, we found that which satisfies our souls, and that which satisfies our souls beyond measure. Now this, my friend, that we had been looking for, again, without knowing what it was, is a walk with God that is directed, literally directed, by the voice of Jesus. It is a life in his very presence. It is not in gifts. It is not in manifestations. That is not to say that gifts and manifestations don't have a place, but it is in a daily walk directed by the Lord Jesus himself. And of course, this is expressed by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans when he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is expressed by the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10 when he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. 27 years ago, when we finally learned that we could walk with God as the apostles, the prophets, and the patriarchs of old, who heard the voice of God, who received the direction from the Lord, and who walked in his ways. This, my friend, has brought us to thrills, romance, and adventure most every day, and total satisfaction. This, my friend, is what God has for you as well. You see, when we go back to the book of Genesis, to the very beginning, we find out that Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they walked with God in the garden, and they heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. It is that intimate relationship, this walking with God in hearing the voice of God, that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. It was lost to all humankind. But Jesus came, and he died on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he sent the Holy Spirit on his believers in order that they might recapture this walk with God, this living by the voice of God that Adam and Eve experienced. That's what Jesus came for. That is God's ultimate design for you and me on the face of the earth. Now you say, Pastor Schulze, can you give me just a few principles that would help me get started to really walk with God? Well, before I do, let me give you just one of my most recent wonderful experiences. My wife and I visited three of our church college students in a Christian college in the state of Florida. We had two wonderful meetings with these students. Sunday came, it was time to go to church, and so we felt that we needed to go to the college church, which is in a large auditorium. My wife said, honey, why don't we just get together with two of these students and meet them after church for lunch? And that was a good idea. Many times the Lord has spoken to me through my wife. But as soon as she said this, the Lord said in my heart, I have other plans, just trust me. And so I told her, I said, honey, the Lord has other plans. We're not to meet with our students from our church this morning again. And so we went to this auditorium, which could hold about 2,000 or 3,000 students. I saw a young man to my left, and he looked Korean, just beautifully dressed, and Jesus said to me, here's the man you've come to church for. Oh, I was excited, but I was trusting. So I began a conversation, and after church, we took him out to eat. He was a seminary student from Korea, about ready to go back to his country in just a few weeks. And my dear friends, this young, beautiful seminary student had his spiritual bones all dried up. And he was discouraged. And he was on a search, just like I was for years, that there's got to be more. There's got to be more than what I've experienced. And I was able to pour into him the great things of God. It was not very long that a new stream of the living waters came from the throne of God and began to flood his soul. I still remember, as we pulled away from his dormitory, how he waved and he waved and he waved till our car was out of sight. Yes, this is the way God wants us to live, by the voice of Jesus, being at the right place at the right time and saying the right things. Now, here are the principles that you must embrace. Number one, after your conversion, you must make a total, unconditional surrender to God. Many people say, I want to know God's perfect will, and they really mean it. And they try to find God's perfect will. But then, once God reveals his will to them, they still think they have voting rights. And if God's will suits their purpose, and if it does not create any conflict in their relationships with other people, then they will do his will. But if it does create conflict, and if it's not what they like to do or what pleases them, if it has a cross in it, they vote against that perfect will of God. In other words, many Christians, when they find God's perfect will, and that will has a cross in it, they refuse to accept that will of God. My friend, you must make an absolute, a total, unconditional surrender to God, that you never will again vote on anything God reveals to you, that you'll simply do his will no matter what the cost may be. Now, secondly, you must seek entire sanctification. Sanctification has two stages. The stage one of sanctification is a setting aside. The stage two of sanctification is God filling that which has been set aside with himself. Paul talks to the Corinthian Christians in the first chapter of his epistle. In verse 2, he said that they were sanctified And that means stage one, sanctification. But then in chapter two, Paul talks to them and he says, you are yet carnal. That is, you live like worldly men, like nothing has ever happened to you, because the infilling of their lives with God had not yet occurred. So he says, you are yet carnal. They needed stage two sanctification. And so also Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he tells them that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel unto sanctification. This tells us that these Thessalonians had not yet attained stage two sanctification. Their lives were not yet purified. And so in the fifth chapter of that book, the Apostle Paul then gives them some steps towards sanctification. And then finally he brings out that this complete full cleansing of the heart, this entire stage two sanctification, as I call it, is possible. God wants to do it. He can do it. He will do it if we will follow his directions. And so the words of the Apostle Paul, his prayer is here, is a prayer for the sanctification, the stage two sanctification of the Christians in Thessalonica. And of course, my friend, this prayer, by God's grace, whether it was ever heard or not, we don't know. But here it is. He prays, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray to God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You see, stage two sanctification takes care of the carnal nature, which is sinful, which is evil, which is selfish. And that has to be cleansed out of us, because the carnal nature, the self-life, will never take one step after Jesus. So we will not walk with God until this whole carnal nature is crucified out of us with all its terrible traits and tendencies. When this has occurred, we're beginning to learn to walk with God. Now, learning to walk with God and learning to hear his voice takes time. We don't learn the Hebrew language in one day. We don't learn walking with God overnight. But we learn it little by little, my friend. And this walk with God, living by his voice, is what we are born again for. This is what was lost in the garden in paradise. But now we can have it again. So, my dear friend, the experience your soul is longing for is a walk with God, a life that is literally directed by our Lord Jesus day by day. And if you don't know how to go about this, if you need more help, I recommend a very fine book to you, which is worth more than a new home. Write this down. You can get this book called A Voice in the Wilderness by Lauren Helm by writing to us at Call to Obedience. Write to Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903, USA. And send $8, and that covers the postage. Again, the book that will help you very much on this matter in walking with God is A Voice in the Wilderness. Write to Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Indiana, 46903, USA. Thank you for listening to me once again. We'll continue next week, and goodbye now. I'm Pastor Schulze.